Well, here we are. We're Labor Day weekend. For a lot of us, we're looking back and saying, where did the year go? And now we look forward to fall and winter and all that soon will be coming on facing us. When we think about Labor Day, we start to think about all the work that people do. It's a day off for many people. It's much more than just furniture sales that they have every year on Labor Day, and more than picnics. It's a day that, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, was a creation of the labor movement dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers. It's a yearly national tribute to the contribution that workers have made to the strength and the prosperity and the well-being of our country. As we look back, we know all that our country's been through in the past. If you're into history, you know how we've advanced in the world to become one of the world powers, how we've advanced industrially, and how we've advanced as a country in our freedoms. The first Labor Day holiday was actually celebrated on a Tuesday in September of 1882 in New York City, and it was planned by the Central Labor Union, believe it or not. It held its second Labor Day holiday a year later in observance of the labor and the workers that were involved in making our country what it was at that time in the late 1800s. In 1884, the first Monday in September then was selected as the day to be the holiday, as originally proposed by the Central Labor Union. And what they did, they urged other organizations throughout the country and other cities to follow the example of their time in New York to celebrate a working man's holiday. And this idea spread then from the labor organization, and it was celebrated in many industrial centers of the country. There have been a lot of increasing emphasis put on Labor Day throughout the years, but the first governmental recognition came through ordinances in municipalities over the years. And finally, in 1894, Congress passed an act making the first Monday in September of each year a legal holiday in the District of Columbia and its territories, and thus became what we know as Labor Day. Labor Day, remember, is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of American workers, and constitutes a yearly holiday to the contributions that workers have made to the strength, the prosperity, and the well-being of our country. Now, that being said, I want us to switch gears a little bit and look at it in a little different way. Because sadly, we often forget the spiritual achievements of Americans that have contributed to the strength and the prosperity and the well-being of our country. And where would we be as a country if we did not have strong spiritual leadership early on? Where would we be? Imagine our government today drawing up a constitution. Imagine that. But I think of such people that have made impacts in our country, such as D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was a shoe salesman before he was an evangelist. Then he moved to Chicago, where he started a Sunday school. And as the Sunday school grew, it grew into what's known today as Moody Church, there on the north end of LaSalle Boulevard in Chicago, Illinois. An awesome, awesome place to be. He founded the Moody Bible Institute, where thousands of students have learned biblical doctrines and gone out to the world to make a difference in our world. Thousands of people were converted through the spiritual journey of D.L. Moody. We think of Billy Graham. Billy Graham's one man that most of us have at least heard the name of. The impact that he made on our country through his crusades and the many ministries he's been involved in, and now his son Franklin Graham involved in many ministries, one of them the Shoebox Ministries, where they send things overseas to kids, making a big difference, not just in our country, but in our world. So we tend, as we think about this, to judge ourselves and our success as Christian workers by some of these big spiritual giants. And we start to think, well, I can't do that. I can't do anything for God. I'm just little old me. But you see, we shouldn't see it that way. We shouldn't look at it that way. Because we work for God. Not humans, not man, not men and women. Our society today has become so results-oriented that the only way it's decided whether we're being successful or not is by the results we produce. And then, of course, there's all kinds of standards, all kinds of books, all kinds of graphs and charts that show us what we should be doing and the results it should be producing. When we start to think of our lives that way, we become enslaved to society and what society thinks we should be doing and how society thinks we should be putting out. But as Christian workers, we have to understand we don't march to that same beat. In God's kingdom, all we're called to do is the work. Some people get so wrapped up in, I can't do anything, because they think there isn't going to be the huge results in the end. The results are not up to us. The work is. God just simply says, go do the work. Go do the work. The results of Paul's ministry wasn't because Paul was a certain special person. He didn't have any chart saying, well, if he goes here and he goes here and he goes here and he goes here, these are going to be the results. Paul just went and did the work. The same with all the rest of the disciples. They went out and did the work. All we're called to do is the work. And if we do the work in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of God, God will determine the outcome, and the outcome will be pleasing to God. He doesn't hold us accountable for the outcome. He just holds us accountable for the work. God will not hold me accountable on the day of judgment because someone here didn't learn or listen to what I taught from the Bible to obey Christ. God won't hold me accountable for that. What He will hold me accountable for is whether I did it or not when He calls me to do it. You see. So He calls us to do the work. And He says, you just do the work, I'll take care of the outcome. And we often want to work hard and be successful to please our bosses and our jobs that we're at, or to move up the corporate ladder. The problem today is, who's the boss of our life? You see, we become confused in our daily lives and in our workplaces about who our true boss is. We should always do our work, whatever it is, for God's approval. It does not matter where you are, what you're doing. We should do it all for God's approval, as if God was standing right there beside us, watching us do it. As Christians, we have to remember we are always and already on the top rung. We don't have to work to get there. We shouldn't be working against ourselves to be anything better than the next person in our spiritual work. I don't care if Billy Graham converted thousands and thousands of people and maybe I only converted one through my preaching. That's not what matters, you see. But in our country and in our lives today, we get caught up in this thing of thinking, I can't do anything for God because I'm nothing great. We have to understand, yes, you are great. You are God's creation, created in Christ Jesus to do good works for God's glory. In Colossians chapter 3, the exalted calling, Paul says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated. Back in Ephesians, he says, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms. We are already on the top rung, folks. We're already there. If you're working to get on that top rung, it's not about that. You're wasting your time. We're already there in Christ Jesus. As Christians, we have higher standards. As Paul continued to write to the Colossians, he said, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all such things. Don't lie to each other. You've taken off the old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self, which is being renewed." As Christians, we have higher standards. As Christians, we have a compassionate character. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another, and forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." So as Christians, we have higher standards, and as Christians, we have a compassionate character. That describes the Christian worker. Higher standards, compassionate character. So when we come on to the job site where God has placed us, we become lights to the world because it pleases God and because Jesus commands us in Matthew 5 to let your light shine before man, before men, before others, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's why we do the good works, not to make me feel good, not to make us something better than the next person or something good in God's eyes. We do it so that others might see our Christian character and our hard work for our God because we love Him, and they too might praise God through what we've done. Maybe you have someone that's needy, and because of our compassionate, merciful work that we do, we might supply those needs in God's perfect timing. And they might praise God for providing. Why is it then that we've allowed the standards and the approval of society to dictate what we do and tell us whether we're successful or not? Our success is not based on the standards of our society. Our success is based on this. This is our standards in the eyes of Almighty God. This is our standard as to whether we're successful or not. Jesus is the Lord of our lives. He will dictate our work here on earth because we'll want to please Him and because we know His rewards far outweigh what the world can offer. Jesus taught about not laying up treasures on earth, earthly treasures, but laying up treasures in heaven. There are people working their fingers to the bone every single day so that they have the most amount of money, the largest amount of money when they retire, and they can retire in comfort. What did Jesus tell us? What does the Bible tell us? To those who hold that and withhold that, God says, "Today it will be taken from you." That's not ours. We don't know the future. We can't bank on the fact that we're even going to be alive when we retire. So what are we working for? We're not banks. We're vessels by which God pours into us and we pour out to the next person. It flows through us because we can't take it with us. And if we say, "I'm going to let it to my kids so that my kids have a good future," how do you know their future? You see, we waste so much time working and working and working for earthly goods and ignoring our spiritual work that the Lord gives us to do for the glory of His kingdom, right, and the praise of God the Father. Paul knew the importance of dedicating every single thing to the Lord. In Ephesians, he tells the believers this is why they were saved by the grace of God. Remember, he tells them, "You were saved, you were seated with Christ. It's by grace that you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves.
It's a gift of God, not by works. He says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ. Why? To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We're new creations in Christ, created to do good works. That's why we were saved by the grace of God. In Colossians, he stresses the exalted calling that we have to do the work of God for God's glory. He says in verse 2, set your minds on things above. In verses 5 through 10, act like God's workers. In verses 12 through 14, let people see that you're different. In verse 15, let Christ's peace rule in your hearts, guiding you as to what is right. People say, well, I don't really know what's right. I don't really know what's the right thing to do. Let the peace of Christ inside you. You'll know. He'll give you peace about it. If you don't have peace about it, don't do it. Don't do it. I've grasped now and treasured a new little cliche, new little saying by Ignatius Loyola, who was one of our church fathers back in the Reformation days, who believed in learning, strong learning, but also combining that with experience and actions, doing the works. He came up with the little cliche, no fast moves. In other words, don't get in a big hurry. Think about what God's telling us. Think about what would be pleasing to God and what God would want. Listen to your hearts inside. Turn to your Bibles for guidance and direction. Let Christ's peace rule in your hearts. And in verse 16 he says, when you teach and admonish, when you caution and you warn others, do it according to the word of Christ. As God's workers, set your minds on things above. Act like God's workers. Let people see you're different. Let Christ's peace rule in your hearts. When you teach and admonish or warn others, do it according to the word of Christ. And finally, the key phrase here is, whatever you do, in verse 17, whatever you do, that word whatever in the Greek is pas, and it implies all, any, every, the whole, all manner or means, always, daily, ever, every, as many as, thoroughly, whatsoever, whole, and whosoever. You understand? Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. He says in advice to slaves in verses 23 through 24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Do it as if working for the Lord, as if the Lord is our boss, as if He's in control, as if we're trying to please Him. If we work in that way, we will never have to worry about God supplying our needs. And this is where the rubber meets the road. I want you to think of everything that you do in a day's time. Everything that you do in a day's time. Little things. Big things. Obviously some seem more important than others. But do we ever think of adding a spiritual aspect to all that we do? Maybe giving thanks to God or as a way of thanking God. Have you ever thought in the morning when you walk up, you step in the shower and you reach out and you turn that shower and the hot water comes out of a wall? Have you ever stopped to think of the millions of people in this world that do not have that luxury? When they get out of bed, if they have water accessible, sometimes it's muddy. Sometimes it's full of bacteria. We can walk up to the wall, turn on a knob, and clean water comes out, warm water, to shower us. Oh, Lord God, thank you for this great shower this morning. Have you ever thought about the fact when you stick that toothbrush in your mouth to brush your teeth? What a blessing that is, that we can have good health, oral hygiene. Thank you, Lord. Have you ever thought about how we can thank God? Try humming Amazing Grace as you're brushing your teeth. You know? In everything, no matter how minute it might seem, no matter how trivial it might seem, we can glorify God in all that we do. Setting up to eat in the morning. Maybe getting dressed. Our country did not prosper on sweat and muscle. It prospered on grace, on God's grace. We remember it was intended to be one nation under God. Is it any wonder our nation's in turmoil? Have we forgotten who the boss is? Have we forgotten why we're here in the first place? And that is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever? That's what the Bible teaches us. So we ask, all right, what can we do for God? What can I do for God? What can we do for God? First of all, I want you to understand the job site is not just here. A lot of people think work for God in the church. Now we've got to do it in church. Well, I served on committees, taught in Sunday school, well, I did this. It's not just here. This is a good starting place. But it's out there in the world that we're in. It's every place that God puts us. It's in our workplaces. It's in our schools. It's in our grocery stores. It's in our restaurants. Everywhere we go, that's the job site God puts us on. Every place we go, every minute we're there, we are there dressed in the robe of righteousness as workers for God's kingdom. Think about that. A smile. A phone call. A text. Got a text the other day. I was kind of having a bad day. I had a lot of something on my mind that was really, really stressful. And I got a text that said to me, "We're so glad that you're our pastor." Do you know what that did to me? That's exactly what I needed. It completely changed that whole day for me. Or a card. Maybe a helping hand if you're physically able. A couple of dollars. A ride. A handshake. Some garden vegetables. An umbrella on a rainy day. You see somebody without one, going over and offering them. Maybe a door held open. Maybe a flat tire fixed. Maybe a casserole fixed. Maybe a bag of groceries. I know someone who's older now and can't make it to church, and they have a caregiver, and you know what they do? They are reading through the Bible with their caregiver. What an awesome ministry that is. A prayer said, a knock on the door to visit. Maybe an invitation to someone to come and be with you or to come to your place or to do something with you. Maybe just an encouragement, a kind word, a compliment. Oh my gosh, do we need compliments today in our world? Do you know what it might mean to that young girl working behind the counter in that fast food restaurant to just simply say to her, "That's a really nice blouse you have on today," or "I like your hair"? The girl with the red hair that's sticking way up in the air that probably gets a lot of ridicule because of it, for somebody to say, "I really like your hair." No, I'm saying you need to be honest. Or maybe a held tongue. Oh, now that one will bring sweat to anybody's brow, holding their tongue when they want to lash out. Now these are just little things. Maybe you're thinking mission trip. Or maybe you're thinking, you know, helping painting or doing some of the bigger things. And if that's what you're able to do and can do, fine. Maybe you're a woman, a man, a mechanic, a farmer, a teacher, a secretary, a grass mower, a driver, a nurse, a doctor, a designer, a baker, a cook, an adult or a child, a prayer, someone who prays, someone who reads, servicemen and women, weak or strong, smart or not so smart, thin or heavy, blue collar, white collar, no collar, even the unemployed and disabled can do something for the Lord, because He can take just the littlest thing, and turn it into great eternal blessings. These are the things and the people that I just talked about. These are the things and the people that have made our nation what it is. Think about it. Simple things, common people, have made our country what it is. Because they knew who the boss was. But I believe that we've forgotten our job description and who our boss is. And I pray that this Labor Day would be a tribute to those who have done all in the name of the Lord Jesus, because that's why we've prospered in the past. And now it's up to you and I to continue that legacy of prosperity in our country, of God's grace. And may this Labor Day be a reminder to us of the importance of committing every single thing in our lives that we do to the glory of Almighty God. And through all that we do, our country might continue to prosper, and we might do all we were created to do in Christ Jesus. You drive a monster truck? All right. Paint on the side of it, God loves you. You see what I'm saying? There's no end to what we can do for the Lord. There's no end. But the importance is, whatever we do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. As Paul told Timothy, to present yourself as a workman approved by God. Think about who our boss is and do all that we do to please our boss, Almighty God. Let's pray. Oh Lord, our God, I pray that you have inspired us this morning as we leave this place and go back into our lives, that we go changed, to think of ourselves differently as your workers, doing all the work that you've given us to do. It doesn't matter how big the job. We know that you will take what we do and bless it, and that others might come to praise you and know you as the true and living and loving God. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. So let us close this morning as we stand, turning to 605. 605.